Hello everyone, this is Lin Zhang from City University of Hong Kong. Thanks for the invitation from Dr. David Williams. It's my pleasure to be a speaker of IAEE podcast series. In this podcast, I'd like to share some of my thoughts on how COVID-19 affects China's emission and its economic structure. As we know, China had the quarantine policy to control the spread of COVID-19. This has led to the suspension of city operation, including entertainment activities, tourism, transportation, and shopping. Traffic data shows that the number of passengers dropped by half compared to 2019. Factories have been shut down completely. The Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, an index of showing the economic conditions in the manufacturing and service sectors, fell to 35.7, which is a historically low record. Satellite images released by NASA also showed that COVID-19 had dramatically reduced pollution throughout China. The energy sector is heavily affected by the current health crisis. Our estimates suggest that the outbreak of coronavirus reduced China's energy consumption and thus greenhouse gases, in particular carbon emissions in the short run. In February, coal consumption for electricity generation reduces by 63.3 million tons, equivalent to about 142 million tons of reduction in carbon dioxide emissions. Consumption of natural gas reduced 2.76 billion cubic meters, corresponding to emission reduction of 6 million tons. State Grid Energy Research Institute estimated that the outbreak of COVID-19 has reduced the demand for oil by 3 million barrels per day, which is equivalent to 20% reduction. Reduced emission from oil consumption is about 36 million tons. In total, the epidemic control policy has lowered China's carbon emissions by over 184 million tons in February. If emission from production of other industrial sectors is considered, the total number will be much higher. Such reduction is expected to persist in the long run. This may finally change the emission trajectory of emission gases not only in China but also worldwide, as the duration is being prolonged and the number of countries being quarantined increases. According to the World Health Organization, infections have been detected in over 200 countries. An increasing number of countries and regions have been locked down. The emission of greenhouse gases in these regions should decline accordingly in the coming months. The COVID-19 pandemic will continue its impact of cutting emissions in the long run through structural trend of industry mix and energy mix. The shutdown of production exacerbates the overstocking of bulk commodities such as steel and cement. This will crowd out excessive production capacity of those high-emitting industries. In addition, governmental supporting policies aimed for firms to survive exclude emission-intensive industries, while digital and high-tech industries experience explosive growth as the streamline of online work and education creates new demand. The energy transition towards renewables also cut carbon emissions. China experience also showed that the power of information network and digital society on curbing the spread of coronavirus. Information on COVID-19 infection was limited before January 20, 2020 in China. The announcement of human-to-human transmission on that day provoked public panic and supply shortage. The Chinese central government responded swiftly to report the number of confirmed cases on a daily basis and asked the local government of all levels to disclose that statistics at least once per day. This significantly helped eliminate potential social unrest. 4 days later, WeChat, the Chinese version of Twitter, was connected to the inspection platform of State Council. In 2 days, it received 75 million visits. Besides providing timely official information, it offers the public a channel to report any local information on the epidemic. It also connects to 220 hospitals for online services. WeChat Platform service has been used by over 1.7 billion times in 20 days after its online. Similar service is also offered by Alipay, a counterpart of Apple Pay. People in China can now access to the recent updates of COVID-19 both within the country and abroad through Alipay and WeChat. As the quarantine policy continues, China is moving towards digitalization. Online conferencing and online education are turning into a routine in Chinese people's daily life, thanks to the high penetration of internet and coverage of mobile devices. The digital network helps the government to restore public confidence quickly to defeat the coronavirus by disseminating information in a transparent and timely manner. Meanwhile, the coronavirus has significantly accelerated the development of digital society. AI technology and 5G technology have been adopted by many more cities and provinces in China following such practice as it significantly reduced the risk of infection. China has incorporated drones into its response to coronavirus. Drones are adapted to spray disinfecting chemicals in some public spaces and on epidemic prevention vehicles traveling between impacted regions. Drones are also used to deliver medical samples to reduce unnecessary human contacts. Drones are also used to deliver consumer items so that people being isolated can have access to food and other goods. Spain has become the first European country to use agricultural drones for containing pandemic. These initial experiments may serve as a model for other countries looking to respond to the current health crisis. In the future, AI equipment should be embedded into current emergency management system to help deal with health crisis in a more effective way. A report from Nature shows scientists worry weaker healthcare in vulnerable nations to defeat the coronavirus. Therefore, high-risk countries should learn from Chinese lessons. Countries may further develop its 5G technology and information infrastructure in the near future. It is very likely that current crisis is activating a new wave of development of IA industry, which will accelerate the structural change of the economy and thus lower its greenhouse gas emissions. However, one environmental threat of digitalization is the potential increase in emissions from growing electricity demand, as electricity is mainly generated from fossil fuels in China. Therefore, the development of renewable energy or the storage technology for renewable electricity has to speed up to meet such demand. The Chinese government has promised that the renewable energy will account for at least 20% of the total energy consumption by the end of 2030. This will reduce fossil fuel consumption by nearly 3 tons of standard coal annually, equivalent to the total energy consumption of France in 2015. China is gaining speed as world leader in the development of renewable energy technologies. China accounts for over 20% of global investment. Moreover, the growth of renewable energy in China continues to far outpace the growth of fossil fuels and nuclear power. In particular, the country is the world's largest market for solar PV, with an annual installed capacity of 43 gigawatts for 2018. One of the problems or challenges in China's energy sector is overinvestment. It is reported that over 12% of installed capacity for coal power plant has never been utilized. This number is 30% for wind power plant. In one of my recent papers, I find the effect of firms' political connection on its investment behavior for energy firms in China. The political connection not only acts as a helping hand that enables energy firms to obtain more government support, but also act as a grabbing hand to force political connected energy firms to heavily overinvest. Therefore, the central government of China needs to mitigate the rent-seeking incentives of energy firms and overinvest. and optimize the allocation efficiency of government subsidy in order to keep the energy sector develops in a healthy and sustainable way. Overall, a good side of current health crisis is that it provides an opportunity for us to look back and move forward in a smart way. All parties have to work together to achieve the target of limiting global temperature increase to below 2 degrees Celsius. That's all I would like to share with you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.